Hey, gang. Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio. That's the National Bugle Radio theme song written specially for this radio show, this podcast, by John Philip Sousa back in 1876. No, it was not written by him. But I love that music. And almost as much as I love the Kosher Certified app. Check it out at the kosherquestion.com. Today is Monday. I have Mark Collette on with me. Mark Collette, welcome to the show.
Hey, Patrick. It's great to be here. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. And yourself?
Yeah, I'm very well. I'm very well. It's another week, and I think we've got lots to discuss as per usual.
As per usual. I wanted to start off with New Hampshire. I've been to New Hampshire. It's okay. It's a nice place.
Is it literally paradise on earth?
No, but it's okay. I was there, like maybe 1981 for the first time, visiting a friend, and then, I've been through there a few times. Actually, I guess I was there once before that, like maybe 1972 or something, but it's okay. It's okay. They have license plates that say live free or die. At least they used to. I think they still do. Live free or die. That is the state motto. And they didn't used to have a state income tax. I know this stuff because I had a friend whose father was in the military. And if you're in the American military, you get to choose which state you want to be domiciled in. And New Hampshire was a popular state. This kid had no connection to New Hampshire other than his father didn't want to pay state income taxes. So there you go.
Sounds like as good a reason as any. But I have some other good reasons as well. So I can add to the good reasons to go and live in New Hampshire.
Yeah, and it's right next to Vermont. And I do remember from my, I think, 1965 U.S. statistical abstract, which I keep handy, looking at the 1960 census data, I do recall that Vermont, which is right next door, in 1960, only had a few hundred black people and virtually nothing of anything else other than white. It was almost 100% white. New Hampshire was a little bit less so, but still, it was like that. And I guess nowadays, what was the figure that they're citing now? What percentage white is
94% white. This is the big problem, you see. The big problem with New Hampshire, according to the New York Times and the liberals and the diversity officers, is that New Hampshire is 94% white, which is too white, according to these people. And what happens when a state is too white? Well, it needs to be diversified. So now they have a man on the job, a guy called Will Arvelo, who is the head of something like economic development in the state, and he has to solve the white problem. He has to help diversify an entire state. And as the New York Times puts it, you know, how do you do that? How do you solve a problem like New Hampshire? Not that I believe New Hampshire is a problem. I don't believe New Hampshire being 94% white is a problem. In fact, I think being 94% white is a very, very good thing. And the interesting thing about all of this, the interesting thing about solving the white problem, is that they're doing it with someone who is going under the title of economic development. Well, when you actually look at New Hampshire, New Hampshire, going by the stats, is amazing. It's a great place to live. In fact, it has the third lowest rate of unemployment in the whole of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure why it needs to be diversified, because they've got all these business leaders together, these non-profit organizations, these government bodies, these NGOs, these charitable trusts, and they're all coming together because apparently if they don't get New Hampshire diversified and diversified quickly, New Hampshire is going to be in a real bad economic state.
Yeah.
Because apparently, according to Will Arvelo and the New York Times, the non-white population is the engine of economic growth in New Hampshire. Well, that's really odd because they only make up 6% of the population. And as I said, it's got the third lowest rate of unemployment in the whole of the US. So it's doing pretty well economically. In fact, you'd have to say New Hampshire is a runaway economic success. Surely bringing in more people, surely diversifying it, surely bringing in more migrants will only raise unemployment. If unemployment's already low, why would you need more people? You only need to bring in more people if you're facing a problem of overemployment.
Right.
If there's new factories opening up and unemployment's at 0% and you're like, you know, Mr. Smithson, he's just opened this wonderful new factory and he wants to bring jobs and growth to New Hampshire, but there simply isn't the number of able-bodied men in New Hampshire to staff his factory.
Well, here's the thing.
That's not the case.
This is what I found interesting, is if you read the New York Times article, they were quoting some expert as saying, well, yes, it's going to be a big problem for them in the future because in order to attract those really skilled non-white workers, you have to have, I guess, like some unskilled non-whites there already. I mean, because these Indian programmers or the Chinese engineers, they're only going to want to come there if there's people like them there, because, you know, it's naturally, and Indians are going to want to live near Indians, and Chinese are going to want to live with other Chinese. And that's
well, this was one of the stupidest things, wasn't it? Their opening gambit was the biggest reason, wasn't even the economic reason. We really jumped a bit far ahead, haven't we? Because their opening argument to why New Hampshire needed diversity was that was some Spanish woman, some Colombian woman who speaks Spanish living there. And she was whining that since moving to New Hampshire, she didn't have anyone to speak Spanish to. So that was the New York Times opening salvo, that the reason New Hampshire must be diversified is because when people come there and can't speak English, they have to learn English. I mean, the horror. Can you imagine that? Moving to an English-speaking country and having to learn the language. What a shocking situation. You know, it's so ridiculous. It's laughable.
Well, yeah, and part of the presumption is that, well, Spanish people are going to want to be around other Spanish people, and Chinese want to be around other Chinese. Well, here, I guess, I mean, maybe white New Hampshireers, you know, these Yankees want to be around other Yankees. Is that so strange? But here's the other thing that's really ridiculous, okay, because they keep framing it in terms of diversity, and in order to attract talented non-whites, they have to, you know, they're too white. If it's so white, the talented non-whites aren't going to want to come there. Well, even if you wanted to follow that logic, do you really think that in order to attract that Chinese engineer, having loads and loads of blacks and Mexican or Central American migrants, is that really what's going to attract the Chinese engineer or the Indian software programmer to New Hampshire?
Well, this is really the key. The key thing here is the high level, very intelligent minority immigrants that we're talking about. You know, your brain surgeons, your engineers, your programmers, you know, the people who are going to come to the state and actually bring a high level skill. So say you've got a Japanese neurosurgeon who, you know, flies over and decides to make his home in New Hampshire. He's the kind of person who will speak English. He is the kind of person who speaks English. By bringing in people and turning the state into a half Spanish speaking state, as you so rightly said, you're not going to be attracting a talented Chinese heart surgeon. You're going to be attracting hundreds of thousands of low income, low status cleaners from Latin America, which isn't going to do anything to help New Hampshire state, which is currently, as we said, one of, you know, great low-level unemployment, the third lowest in the whole of America, and a flood of low-skilled, low-wage migrants is not going to help that. In fact, every nation or every state, or every, when we say this, we're talking about Western nations and states that have been flooded with these low-wage, low-skill migrants, have seen a drastic increase in unemployment and social tensions. And that's another thing that we have to note about New Hampshire. New Hampshire is a state which is ranked as having the fourth best quality of life in the whole of America. The fourth best. So it's pretty high up there. Out of 50, it ranks number four for quality of life. So people enjoy living there. People have a good quality of life. They aren't crying out for multiculturalism. They aren't crying out to be enriched. And the interesting thing about this is when you look at the rankings in the US for quality of life, which state has the lowest quality of life? California, which is the most multicultural and most progressive state in the whole of America. So yeah. It seems there is a correlation between happiness and quality of life and this cultural enrichment. But it's not the correlation that liberals like to claim. It's not a positive correlation. It's a negative correlation.
Right.
The
more 4 or 5 decades ago, California would have been close to the top of the list.
Let's put a very crude but very poignant, you know, sort of point to round this off nicely. San Francisco is a multicultural, progressive, left-wing city, probably the most left-wing city in the whole of America, or one of them.
Yeah.
And it currently proudly boasts its status as a sanctuary city, as a city where people can come from all over the world without paperwork and reside and live without being harassed, as they'd put it. I'd say, you know, without the law being enforced, but they'd call it harassment. So people can go there from wherever they want without papers. Your status doesn't matter. Your income doesn't matter. Your ability to pay for yourself doesn't matter. Well, what has that done to San Francisco? Well, San Francisco's streets are now covered in feces. You have a poo problem. You have a problem where San Francisco is flooded with people who are pooing all over the streets. You have a problem of the streets being like open sewers. So has mass immigration helped San Francisco? No, it's not. Turning San Francisco from an overwhelmingly white city into a progressive and multicultural city has destroyed the quality of life for everyone. It's made the city a worse place to live. And my message for the people of New Hampshire is keep your homogeneity. Retain your monocultural, monoethnic state because you will be happier. Liberalism, progressivism and multiculturalism and mass immigration are poisons. They are poisons that destroy communities, societies, nations and states. And they are the poisons being administered by the internationalist politicians who want to wreck white nations. And that is why they hate New Hampshire. That is why they are gearing up to diversify it. Because what they can't have, ultimately, is white nations or white states. And why can't they have that? Why can't there just be one white state? Why do they all have to go? They all have to go because if they don't, the existing white states show up the multicultural projects for what they are. New Hampshire shows up California. It shows up California for being a failed state, a state with high unemployment, a state with low quality of life, and all the progressive multiculturalism, immigration, all the progressive laws, all the liberalism, all the left-leaning policies that have been pushed through, they have failed to create the utopia that the politicians claimed they would create. They have failed to create a cohesive and happy state. In fact, they've created a state with the lowest quality of life in the whole America. And that's why these internationalist politicians and these liberals hate New Hampshire so much, because New Hampshire is the contrast. New Hampshire is the happy, low unemployment, white state that is a success. And California's the failure. And that comparison shames the entire multicultural project. And that's why New Hampshire, I mean, we know also they want to bring about white genocide. They want to destroy us. But they can't leave any trace of whiteness. They can't leave any lasting, homogeneous white societies. Because if they do, it shows up their multicultural societies for the true failures that they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these few remaining homogeneous societies, which aren't white, but which, you know, are like high IQ areas like Japan and South Korea, are they're showing up the Western world. And you can, I went through Tokyo on a bus just from end to end, and it's like a wonderland. And it's still relatively homogeneous. I mean, they are starting to get some immigration there. They're probably about 30 or 40 years behind the West in terms of that. And they have to watch out. But it's very cohesive, and people feel like they're on the same team, and they're willing to pull together, and they're willing to have national insurance programs and do things for each other. But that's all going to change if they follow the West in the same direction that the West has been going. It's less likely there because they don't have these fellow Japanese or these fellow Asians who can pressure them into it while pretending to be part of their group, but actually being part of this other tribe. And basically if a bunch of Jews showed up in Tokyo, the Japanese would look at them and say, hey, you're not us. But of course that doesn't happen here. I want to ask a little bit about, in Italy you've got this new government, and they've been putting a foot down to immigration, taking a pretty hard line, and as a result the main path into Europe, which I guess it started off really going into Greece and then into Italy, now it seems to be going into Spain. And Spain,
well, I'm really pleased. I'm really pleased you brought this up, because this is such an important thing for Americans to understand. And this is why the European Union is such a weapon against our people. This is crucial. You see, what happens is Italy and Greece can close their borders. They can close their ports they can't close their borders. That's the point, actually. They can close their ports. They can stop these ships docking, and they can prevent the migrants landing on their coastlines.
And we're going to hear what happens when the migrants do land on their coastline. Get back to the break.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the show, the National Bugle Radio. I mentioned Spain because there's been some really wild instances of migrant behavior in Spain in the past week. But you were talking about the dynamics of the EU, whereby they don't have the internal borders between countries, and a place like Greece or Italy can shut its ports. But that's not the same as shutting their borders.
Well, that's exactly the problem. You see, the problem with the EU, there's lots of problems with the EU, but one of the key problems is once people are in, they are free to go where they want. So you have this very, very unique issue where you can have a nation shut its ports. You can have a nation say, right, that's it. We're not letting any more of you dock here. We're not letting any of you off the boat. We're turning you away. And, that's a good sign that nations are doing that. But it's kind of pointless in a very real way. And I know that people go, this is really negative. It's not negative. It's just the truth. This is the truth. The fact of the matter is, if you close the ports, that is somewhat of a tiny victory. But if you close the ports in Italy and Greece, and all that happens is the people who are coming in through Italy and Greece then decide that instead of coming in through Italy and Greece, they are simply going to go to Spain, they are going to come in through France, they are going to go to, other ports all over the EU, you end up with this very unique problem. And this unique problem is that these people then, once they're in by any means, and that's the issue, in by any means, they can simply go where they want because there's no internal borders. Once you are in that zone of free movement, which is called the Schengen zone, that's it. you can go where you wish. So Italy might have stopped them coming through its ports. Okay, great. And that is a victory of sorts, because you've got a major European nation saying enough is enough when it comes to these people. And of course, we can't, you know, we can't claim that's not a victory, because it is. It's good. It shows there's a sea change of you know, popular opinion against migrants. And it shows that we are electing governments who are willing to deal with the problem to some degree. But once these boats then go to Spain and the migrants, you know, leave the boats in Spain, well, they can be in Italy in days or weeks, and the Italian government can't stop them because they're crossing a land border. And there are no land borders in Europe within the Schengen zone. So as soon as they're in, it's not about, and this is the problem, it's not just about stopping them disembarking from their ships in Greece and Italy. That is not the issue anymore. The issue that we are facing is stopping these people disembarking at all. Because if they disembark in France or in Spain, they can move to the nations quite easily where they want to go. And this is where we've seen this huge problem with Britain. Now, Britain isn't in the Schengen zone, but we obviously have the Channel Tunnel, we have the ferry crossing to France, and thankfully we do have the English Channel. But you see hundreds and hundreds of thousands, millions in fact, of these migrants coming to Europe every year. Now, we all know that. That's a fact. They come in by the absolute boatload. They get off those boats, and where do they head? They head straight to northern France, to the ports around the Calais area, and that's it. They are coming over, straight over to Britain, because we give one of the best deals when it comes to benefits, when it comes to housing, when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to education, when it comes to interpreters. So that's why they come here. You know,
it's as if the whole point of Western civilization was to support maximum number of Africans.
Well, this is
what thousands of years of Western civilization has led to.
Well, this is exactly the problem. And we are facing this problem now, and it is a problem, and it's a very interesting problem in the fact that these people who have done this to us, or who are doing this to us, we must never underestimate them. So, and we must never ever think we're making major victories when we're not. So all the people who were like, ha ha ha, victory is ours, we have stopped them coming into Italy. That's it. You know, this is it. It's all going in our way. Yes, we did. Yes, we should be happy that we've made that small, you know, bit of ground. But the fact is, it is only small ground. And it's only small ground. And our enemies know it's only small ground because they know that once they land them in Spain, they'll be in Italy within a week anyway.
That's right. Italy, Germany, Sweden. Okay, we will hear more about this after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to National Eagle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. I'm here with Mark Collett today, and we've been talking about immigration into the EU. And I saw in the past couple of days a couple of videos from Spain. One was, I guess, on a Spanish beach, a nudist beach even. I think they had British, British vacationers on a nude beach, and all of a sudden, how would you say it? Algeciras. It's near Gibraltar. It's a southern city, and very close to Morocco. And all of a sudden, this boat comes, and like 50 Africans jump off the boat and run through the beach and into the woods. Caused quite a commotion, but that was shocking enough. But then I saw one today where there is a woman in Barcelona, I guess with a baby carriage, and she was trying to get through a sidewalk where you had a bunch of Africans who were peddling junk or something like that, and they didn't take kindly to her. And then some Cuban American tried to step in, and they just beat him, and they beat him. He lost.
Yeah, they whipped him, didn't they?
Yeah, they whipped him, and then some other Caucasian approached them, and the guy who had been whipping then put his hands on that guy's neck, and so they're not coming as migrants.
The guy who'd been whipping,
a conquering
the guy
farm.
Doing the whipping. God, it's so funny. The absurdity of what we're saying here is almost comical. You've literally got immigrants coming here assaulting white women, and then when someone sticks up for the white woman, the immigrants attack them with a whip. And I'm sure if the state or the authorities stepped in, the man being whipped would be the one who got dragged away for some form of hate crime. That's the kind of absurd state that we have transformed our nations into.
You know, there was another case, and this was in, I think, South Carolina, somewhere in America. And there was a man, 72 years old, and his son and grandson were visiting, I guess spending the night, and suddenly this naked black man comes into the house and starts attacking the 10 or 11-year-old grandson, starts beating him. And so the 72-year-old man and his son go and they try to rescue the grandson. Then and they call the police, give the police descriptions, and then the owner of the house, the 72-year-old man, fetches his gun and shoots the black man. And then the police came, and even though they had the descriptions, they shot and killed the 72-year-old man because he had a gun in his hand when they barged in the door. Yes. I don't know how that happens, but at any rate, it's the question becomes, is this what we do with Western civilization? I mean, we've been developing this civilization for thousands of years and have accomplished amazing things, you know, putting the man on the moon and all of you know, decoding the genomes, and, you know, we're unlocking the secrets of life, the secrets of the atoms and everything. And what's it all for? Are we just going to squander it on virtue signaling that we're willing to support more Africans than anyone else? I mean, what is it? It's the fall of Western man. That's what it is.
It is. Go and download it for free from www.thefallofwesternman.com.
I will put in, you know, advertisements, free advertisements for things that I believe in. So, the fall of Western
man. That's very good. I thank you for that. But on a very serious note about this, we do have this problem where we as people have a very, very decent, caring and altruistic side to us, and that altruism, that caring nature, that empathy, especially amongst our females, is being used against us. It is being turned on us, and our people now are essentially willing to destroy their own nations, their own states, willing to see their own people, their own sisters, raped, attacked in the streets. And they're standing there and letting this happen because they've been guilt-tripped into a position where they feel sorry for people that really they owe nothing whatsoever to, and are in fact people who would happily do them down for the smallest amount of material gain. And it's a very, very sad state. But obviously, our people have been indoctrinated. They have been brainwashed. They've been lied to. And this program of lies and brainwashing and indoctrination has been going on for decades now. And it's been absolutely stunningly effective.
It has been. You know, Kevin MacDonald is going to be releasing a book later this year, and he described the research that went into the book at his recent appearance at a conference in Tennessee a few weeks ago. And he says that there's been this, well, I mean, he actually traces it back thousands of years, but I'm not so sure about the ancient origins of this, but but certainly he traces back to, say, even within Britain, an aristocratic element of society and then a Puritan element of society, which, you know, both elements wound up coming to the United States. And amongst this Puritan vein of our common culture, you know, you do have this, you know, this particular kind of morality, whereby you're concerning yourself with the well-being of people you've never met and have no connection to. It's kind of a he's calling it, I guess, a Puritan ethic as opposed to a more aristocratic ethic. But that Puritan ethic was already a problem. But then during the 20th century, it was then weaponized against the entire white race by, you know, a new Jewish elite that not only did they replace this Puritan elite that had taken over the United States, as far as he's concerned, at the time of the Civil War or thereabouts in the 1800s, but not only was the Puritan elite largely displaced by Jews, but then their values were weaponized against the entire society.
Yes, of course. I mean, and the problem we've got is when we talk about our values and our values of sort of caring, our values of altruism, our values of helping our neighbor, those values were formulated with a homogeneous society in mind. Those values were formulated with the idea of a neighbor that was like you, a neighbor with the same values as you, a neighbor who went to the same church as you, mm-hmm. who went to the same community center, who spoke the same language, whose children went to the same school and had the same interests. These values of looking after one another and extending charity to one another, of having, especially here in the UK, a nationalized health service, a safety net for people who are unemployed. All of these things were dreamt up. All these institutions were created for a society that was a white Anglo-Saxon and Christian society.
So these it predates the multiculturalism.
Yeah, they weren't invented. These institutions and these sort of safeguards in society were not invented and sold to our people to be extended to everyone the world over. For example, when we created here in the UK our first forms of benefits, were actually community benefits based around the church, and they were created as a way of looking after people who had contributed to the community but fallen on hard times through no fault of their own. So if there'd been a hard-working man who'd worked on the land all his life and contributed to the church and been a pillar of the community, and he had an accident, let's say one day he broke his leg whilst moving, you know, bales of hay for sake of argument, the community would come together and look after his family until he could work again. And that form of benefit was a way of giving something back to a man who had given so much to the community. But the point was, it was reciprocal. He had given to the community. He had contributed. He had done good for his people. So when he fell on hard times, his people and his community provided for him, just in the same way as a family would look after one another. And that all makes sense. But this idea of looking after one another wasn't an idea of saying, well, here's a guy who's travelled over on a boat from Africa and can't speak the language, hasn't done anything for the community, won't contribute to the community, but boy, are we going to give him a house? Are we going to give him free healthcare? Are we going to give his children an education? Are we going to pay for him? Yes, we are. That's madness. That was not how our system was created. It was not why our system was created. Our system was a charitable system that was put in place as a safety net. And now it is not a safety net, but it's a hammock. It's not a safety net where someone falls into. It's a hammock in which people from all over the world come to lie in at our expense. And that is how our altruism is turned against us.
Yeah, that's very good imagery there. You mentioned the British National Health Service, and the United States alone among, you know, what is thought of as the, you know, the leading economies, the leading industrialized economies, which were the European countries plus Japan, basically. But But alone, it never developed a national health insurance system. And, you know, there were some issues with the doctors association and whatnot. But I've always felt that probably the main reason was because there was a certain amount of resistance because of feeling that, you know, it would be because the United States was never that homogeneous. It always had, you know, double digit black population. And I always felt that that had something that had a fair amount to do with it. The United States wasn't quite homogeneous enough to have that feeling that, oh, yeah, you know, it's all for one for all. There was always a feeling that, well, yeah, we're just going to be winding up supporting this population. If you look at the Social Security system that was set up in the 1930s, it was set up in such a way, at least initially, that it wasn't going to be a welfare program. You know, it was going to be a pension system where people contribute and then they get back from it. It's been modified along the way. And then, of course, since the 1960s, the Medicaid program and all these other welfare programs came in as, you know, ways of redistributing funds. And there's got to be a lot of resistance to it. And I've always felt that one of the main things, a main issue that can be used to get, say, the people who supported Bernie Sanders away from the anti-white coalition is to point out to them, you know, the things you want, like, you know, cheap university education or national health insurance. That's really only possible it's only possible if you cut off immigration. I mean, it's hard enough to do that with an already diverse population. But if you're going to if you're saying, I mean, it was hard enough to get people to go along with these programs that were going to be overly utilized by blacks and other minorities. But if you're going to say, oh, well, any peasant from Somalia or Honduras is welcome to, there's no way you're going to get them passed. You have to shut down the borders in order to have something like that not just pass, but work. So we'll see how that goes.
I mean, what you're saying makes total sense, but we've got to a point in this country where the level of liberal insanity is so off the chart that you have people now saying things like, well, maybe we should screen these immigrants that come here for infectious deadly diseases like HIV. Because, I mean, if you're coming over from Africa and, you know, you want to take up residence here and you've not put in a penny to the system, why should you be able to have for free from day one very, very expensive HIV and AIDS treatment? Why should you get that on the house when you've put nothing in? Because remember, right, at the NHS is like an insurance policy. You know, you guys over there, you tend to say, oh, the NHS, you know, we pay for our healthcare. We pay for our healthcare too. You know, we pay this thing called national insurance, and national insurance covers your healthcare. You make a national insurance contribution every month from your paycheck, and that goes towards your healthcare and your pension. Mm-hmm. That is what it's for. These contributions from your tax go towards that. So if you are a taxpayer, if you are a head of house who is paying your tax and your national insurance, those contributions go towards the upkeep of the healthcare system. Now, when you have a guy come over from Somalia riddled with HIV or AIDS, and he hasn't paid a penny into the system, but wants free treatment, that treatment is being paid for out of the pockets of the taxpaying public. And the way the Americans, or the way you Americans should think about this, is that basically you will pay your premiums, and then someone comes over, and the companies that you've paid your premiums to say, well, I'm sorry, Patrick, out of your premium, we're paying for his healthcare. That's what's happening here.
Yeah. And here too. Slightly different way, though. We'll be back after the break with more of this discussion.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the show with Patrick Slattery and Mark Collett in Great Britain. And I guess we're just going to wind up. I mean, we could jump to another topic. Actually, why don't we jump a little bit to another topic? Because we were talking over the break, and David Duke is the he's being portrayed in a movie that is going to be coming out in just a few days. It's by Spike Lee, a big deal director. And it's called Black Klansman, and it portrays David Duke, and it claims to be, I don't know if it uses the term true story. I guess it does. Originally, it was using the term some faux real she. It's not a word I can't say on RBN, but they portray him, but it's a lie, and it's not. It's not for real. And in fact, Dr. Duke has talked to the person who wrote the book that the movie's based on, And I think he's going to be disclosing a lot from that. But basically, this writer has admitted that what's in the movie, a lot of it wasn't even in the book, and it's just not true.
So. No, well, I believe that a lot of this has been, obviously... The thing is, with books and films, they do take a lot of liberties, and you always see in the small print, they never say the true story, do they? They always say, based on the true story, or loosely based on the true story, or a collection of short stories inspired by, and these terms are used to legally cover them. And I'm pretty sure that the writer of the book originally and Spike Lee have taken quite a few liberties to make this film into what it is. However, saying that, I've watched the trailer, and I think David, although it's not David, it's Topher Grace playing David, comes over awesomely. It makes David look like an amazing guy, and that is something that I'm really, really happy about.
Okay, and I'm informed that by my engineer, Mr. T, the dog, that Black Klansman is advertised as an incredible true story. That's an incredible true story.
Wow.
An incredible true story. Indeed. Now, they also advertise it as a black cop and a Jewish cop infiltrating the KKK. But
it's the guy from Star Wars, isn't it? It's the guy from the new Star Wars film. He plays the Jewish cop. I noticed that.
The thing is, the writer of the book says, well, actually, there weren't any Jews at all involved in that investigation. So there was no Jewish cop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as I said, these things are, they usually take a lot of liberties with them. I'm looking forward to seeing it because personally, you know, I've got to go and see it because it's a film about the great David Duke. So I've got to go and see it. Well, and I'm going to do a review for my channel.
Yeah. And of course they're really trying to get not David, they're trying to get Donald Trump by comparing him to the, you know, the worst person on earth, David Duke. Pointing out that Donald Trump's whole platform was based on David Duke's platform from 20 years earlier or 30 years earlier. Actually, if you voted for Donald Trump, then you look at David Duke and say, oh, that's who we have to thank for this, right? Well, thank you so much for coming on again, Mark, and I'll see you on your podcast on Wednesday, and we'll have a special guest, right?
Yeah, we've got Jared Taylor on, so I'm really looking forward to that. And I look forward to seeing you there, too.
That's going to be a big deal. And I'll see everybody tomorrow on another exciting episode of National Duke Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of...
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.